Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Howdy and good morning, faithful listeners, and welcome to the Bible Explained podcast. We're going to be talking about 1 Samuel chapter 20 today. We're in a new chapter of 1 Samuel, and this chapter is very sad and also very interesting. So I think this is going to be a good couple days while we talk about 1 Samuel 20. Today we'll be discussing the first portion, because I broke this up into three different portions. We're going to be talking about David and Jonathan renewing their promise to each other. So let's read 1 Samuel 20, 1 through 15, and I'll be reading, as always, the WEB version, or the World English Bible, for those of you who are curious what version of scripture that is. It is a free online Bible, and I personally like the WEB because of the reason they translated it, because the majority of Bible versions are actually copyrighted, and I would get in trouble for reading the Bible on this podcast because it's copyrighted. So that is why I use the WEB version of scripture, because it is fully free to use, and that's why I like it. All right, guys, I'm done ranting. Let's read 1 Samuel 20, 1 through 15. Grab your version of scripture that you prefer, and also your cup of coffee or your cup of tea to enjoy with me. David fled from Noah in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?" He said to him, "Far from it. You will not die. Behold, my father does nothing, either great nor small, but that he discloses it to me. Why would my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." David swore moreover and said, "Your father knows well that I have found favor in your eyes, and he says, 'Don't let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved.' But truly as Yahweh lives, and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." Then Jonathan said to David, "Whatever your soul desires, I will even do it for you." David said to Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is a new moon, and I should not fail to dine with the king, but let me go, that I may hide myself in the field to the third day at evening. If your father misses me at all, then say, 'David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for it is a yearly sacrifice there for all of the family.' If he says, 'It is well,' your servant shall have peace. But if he is angry, then know that evil is determined by him. Therefore, deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of Yahweh with you. But if there is iniquity in me, kill me yourself, for why should you bring me to your father?" Jonathan said, "Far be it from you. For if I should at all know that evil were determined by my father to come on you, then wouldn't I tell you that?" Then David said to Jonathan, "Who will tell me if your father answers you roughly?" Jonathan said to David, "Come, let's go out into the field." They both went out into the field. Jonathan said to David, "By Yahweh, the God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about this time tomorrow or the third day, behold, if there is good toward David, won't I then send to you and disclose it to you? Yahweh do so to Jonathan and more also. Should it please my father to do you evil, if I don't disclose it to you and send you away that you may go in peace. May Yahweh be with you as he has been with my father. You shall not only show me the loving kindness of Yahweh while I still live, that I not die, but you shall also not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when Yahweh has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the surface of the earth." So we talked the other day about how David had to flee from his home, which was the palace, and go to this area called Ramah, which was where Samuel lived. And the reason he had to flee was because Saul, King Saul, was pursuing David for no reason. Like, Saul hated David because David was super successful and everybody loved David. So Saul was starting to put the pieces together that David was going to be the next king of Israel, and that Saul and Saul's family were not going to have their kingdom for much longer. Saul is putting the pieces together because he had been told by Samuel years before this that God had rejected Saul and basically Saul's family because of these sins that Saul had committed, trying to usurp the authority away from God on several occasions. So now Saul is starting to figure it out that David is the next anointed king. So this is making Saul very, very angry and very, very insecure. Instead of repenting, you know, turning away from his sins and asking for forgiveness. He is instead trying to kill David, God's anointed person. And we talked the other day about how Samuel and David went to go live together in Noeth, which was this area of Ramah. And when Saul found out about it, he sent a bunch of messengers to Noeth, but there was this school of prophets there because Samuel himself was like the high priest. He was a great prophet. And so he had this school of prophets there, and all these messengers that went to go try to arrest David basically started prophesying with all the prophets at this school. And then they would return empty handed and David wouldn't get caught. So this happens three times, three separate times. And then Saul himself in anger goes to Noeth to try to arrest David himself. However, when he gets there to Noeth, Saul himself starts prophesying, and he's prophesying so much that he actually is stripped of his kingly robes, and he's basically lying there either naked or in his underwear. We talked about that the other day, and if you're curious about that episode, go back and listen to it because it was a very funny episode. I think you guys would enjoy it if you did not get a chance to listen to it. But anyway, David was in Noeth, and God had saved David's life through this very strange and miraculous thing that God had done, where everybody that went to Noeth started prophesying. And even Saul himself didn't end up arresting David. And it could be because David was able to get away during that time when Saul was like prophesying naked. Maybe David was like, you know what? This is a great opportunity for me to leave. So David like peaced out. It could have been that. It could have also been that, you know, Saul's encounter with the Holy Spirit in this prophecy just caused him to change his mind in that moment and not go arrest David. It could have been that as well. But either way, David gets away from Noeth and from Saul, and then Saul just goes home. So now David, it says in verse 1, came to find Jonathan, Saul's son. And Jonathan and David were best friends. So David says to Jonathan, he's like, what have I done that your father is trying to kill me? What is my sin before your father that he seeks my life, is what it says in verse 1. And Jonathan is flabbergasted. He's like, what are you talking about? He says, far from it. You will not die. My father doesn't do anything before telling me about it. I don't know anything about a plot to kill you. So why would my father hide this big secret from me that he's trying to kill you? And David's like, well, maybe your father knows that you like me and doesn't want to tell you because he thinks that either it's going to make you sad or you're going to defy him in some way. So maybe he just didn't tell you. That's a paraphrase of what David says in verse 3. But another thing he says is this: as Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. So David's like, Jonathan, look, you're not understanding. Your father wants to kill me. He is trying to kill me. You are not getting it through your head that your dad wants me dead. And David says, there is but a step between me and death. So David's like, I'm at the end of my rope. I am about to die. You have to understand this, Jonathan. I am going to die. So Jonathan sees how distraught David is in this moment. And so here's what he says: whatever your soul desires, I will do it for you. So he's basically like, what can I do to help? Anything you need, I am going to be there for you. I will do it for you. What do you need? So David asks a favor of Jonathan. Here's what he says. Verse 5, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to dine with the king, but let me go that I may hide myself in the field to the third day at evening. So he's like, look, the new moon festival is coming up in a few days, and I am supposed to be there with the king and all of the officials eating dinner and celebrating the new month, because that was a common monthly tradition among the Jews. Was they would have new moon festivals and new moon feasts because God did require a special sacrifice on the first of each month. And so the Jewish people would do the sacrifice and then they would go do a festival or a feast once a month. So David's like, the new moon festival is coming up and I am supposed to be dining with Saul. I am expected to be there because I am a high ranking official. I am the son-in-law to the king and I should be at this feast. But he says to Jonathan, let me not be at this feast. please, because I will die if I go to this feast. I know I will die. Let me leave. I'm going to hide out in the field. I'm going to camp by myself for 3 days. And I want you to please tell me how your father responds. Here's what he says. If your father misses me at all, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for it is the yearly sacrifice there for all of his family. And if he says, it is well, your servant shall have peace. But if he is angry, then know that evil is determined by him. So he says to Jonathan, tell your father that I'm going to Bethlehem because it is a yearly sacrifice at Bethlehem. And I need to be there with my family. And if your father has had a change of heart towards me and he says, oh, okay, that's fine, then I'll know that I am safe. Come back and tell me that. But if he responds roughly with you or aggressively towards you about it, then know that I am not safe and your father has evil planned in his heart toward me, is what he says to Jonathan. Therefore, deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of Yahweh with you. So David reminds Jonathan, he's like, you and I made a covenant that you would be my lifelong best friend. So I am asking you to uphold your end of the covenant. Please do what I ask you to do. However, David is speaking in very, very humble terms because he's called himself Jonathan's servant multiple times. And we see that this is a very common way that the Hebrew people used to speak to each other. If a person wanted to show humility towards another person, they would call themselves the servant of that other person they're speaking to. And also, I'm pretty sure I did an episode on this years ago about how the Hebrew people speak. I don't know if I can find it for you guys because it was so long ago. I think it was during the book of Genesis that I talked about that. I think right around the time where I was discussing Jacob's story. And I'm pretty sure, if I'm remembering correctly, the Hebrew people didn't have a word for I think. I might be misremembering that. But they didn't have a very common word to refer to themselves like you and I have. Hence why in the Old Testament, you often see things like David often referring to himself as David. And we'll see another example of Jonathan doing this in the next paragraph here. But moving forward, David calls himself Jonathan's servant. So he's speaking very humbly. And he says, remember that you and I made a promise with each other, that we will always care about each other, that we will always be friends. But then he says, if there is iniquity in me, kill me yourself. Don't even bring me to your father. Kill me right here and right now. And I think this is David testing Jonathan a little bit, this entire thing, because don't forget that David has just been through like a lot, okay? First, he was almost killed by Saul, by Saul's own hands. Then he had to leave his home. He had to leave his wife and travel to Noeth. And then Saul was sending all of these messengers to go try to arrest David on 3 different occasions. And you can imagine that David at this point in time is kind of like, where is Jonathan, my best friend and Saul's son? Is he helping his dad with all of this? Like, why didn't he warn me that this stuff was happening? Like, I don't understand what's happening with Jonathan here. And you can kind of see how David would think that maybe Jonathan was no longer on his side. And I think that's this entire thing is David kind of testing his best friend to see where Jonathan is standing. So Jonathan says, he eases David's concerns immediately. He says, far be it from you. For if I should at all know that evil were determined by my father to come on you, then wouldn't I tell you that? So David says to Jonathan, who will tell me then if your father answers you roughly? So Jonathan says to David, let's go out into the field where you want to hide. So they both go out into the field. And I imagine that they kind of plan this whole thing together. You know, like David's like, you know what, I'm going to hide over there for this amount of days on this time or whatever. So they plan all this out. And then Jonathan says to David in verse 12, by Yahweh, the God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about this time tomorrow or the third day, behold, if there is good towards David, I will send to you and disclose it to you. So in modern language, Jonathan's like, David, when you hide out into the field on the new moon festival, either on the first, second, or third day, while you're camping out here, I'm going to try to feel my father out and see how he responds to you missing at the new moon feast. I will see how he responds, but I promise I will come and tell it to you, is what he says. I will disclose it to you. Yahweh do so to Jonathan and more also. Should it please my father to do you evil, and if I don't disclose it to you and send you away, that you may go in peace. So there's an example of that third person speech right there, where Jonathan refers to himself as Jonathan. So he's like, Yahweh do so to Jonathan, instead of saying Yahweh do so to me, or Yahweh will do this to me if I don't, you know, do such and such. So he's like, Yahweh strike me, you know, if I don't disclose to you that my father intends to kill you. I promise I will do it. Then he says, Yahweh be with you as he has been with my father. And I think that that's very important, because Jonathan is making it very clear to David through this entire thing that he is on David's side. He wants God to be on David's side, just as God was with Saul while Jonathan was growing up. If Jonathan were a lesser person, he wouldn't be helping David at all. He would probably be hoping that Yahweh starts helping his father again, not helping David, similar to how Saul is acting, actually. But Jonathan is blessing David, saying, Yahweh be with you as he was with my father. And then he reestablishes the promise he made with David, however many months before. He says, the promise still stands between you and me, because when you, David, eventually become the king, and I am not, I ask of you that you don't kill me. And I also ask of you that you don't kill my family members. So he reestablishes this covenant with David, because Jonathan knows that David is going to be the next king. And it doesn't really seem to me like Jonathan is vying for the position too much, because the only information we have of Jonathan is the stories that we have in 1 Samuel. We don't really know a whole ton about Jonathan's personality or who Jonathan was in his spare time. But we do know that Jonathan believes and knows and understands that David is going to be the next king. And he is okay with that. He is okay with not being the king and allowing God to establish somebody else as the next king of Israel. This shows a bit about Jonathan's faith, I think, that he is perfectly willing to accept God's will in all of that. So he says to David, when you become the king, David, and all of your enemies are defeated, just don't kill me and don't kill my family. Remember the promise that we made with each other. Don't let the power of being a king go to your head. Because back in these days, it was very common for kings to kill all of the family members of their predecessors. And Jonathan, of course, is trying to protect his family from that by asking David not to kill him when he does eventually become the next king of Israel. So I think this shows a lot about Jonathan's personality. And I know that people wonder, and I've even wondered this myself, like, why didn't God choose Jonathan as the next king? Honestly, I don't know. I don't know why God didn't choose Jonathan. Only God knows that. Only God can see the entire picture. And God knew what he was doing by choosing David instead of Jonathan. And maybe, honestly, Jonathan just didn't want it. And God knew that Jonathan didn't want it, because, like I said, it doesn't seem like Jonathan at any point in time was really vying for the position as king. And maybe it was because Jonathan grew up as the king's son and just didn't like what he saw and didn't want to be a part of that. Very well could have been. Or it could have also been that Jonathan just didn't have the right heart for the job, because it does say that David had a heart after God. It doesn't mention the same thing about Jonathan. Or it could also just be that maybe Jonathan's children wouldn't make good kings of Israel. And lastly, and most likely, it could be that Jesus came from the line of David. And there was something about that lineage that God had to preserve in order for Jesus to come into the world at the time that he came into the world. Only God knows the answer here. But the important thing is to trust God's plan, like Jonathan did. Because God's plan is always the best, because he can see past, present, and future. He is outside of time. He created time, so he has to be outside of it. So he can see every bit of the picture. So trust God's will, because he can see the ending to every story. This was a fun episode for me to talk about. We're going to be talking more about this story on Friday and see how Saul responds to David not being at the feast. And don't forget that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I do an Old Testament episode. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I do a New Testament episode. So make sure to check out tomorrow's episode, because we're going to be in the New Testament tomorrow talking about the book of Acts. But guys, Easter is around the corner, and I didn't realize that until this morning. That's like a week and a half away. So make sure to get, if you haven't yet, make sure to get your Alive coloring devotionals, okay? Because the Alive coloring devotionals are 8 days of coloring pictures, each associated with Passion Week. So there is a coloring devotional for adults and also one for children. Obviously, the adult version has more advanced coloring pictures and more advanced devotionals. And then the children's coloring book has less advanced pictures and less advanced devotionals and games and other things to do with the parents. So make sure to check those out. Those are linked in the description of this episode under books. That is where you're going to find the Alive coloring devotionals. Make sure to get them very soon, because you do not want to miss out for Easter, and you don't want to miss out on a fun devotional to do with your children as well. Faithful listeners, I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. Happy listening, and God bless.